We are continuing on our Holy Spirit series. Yay! Now, I understand, I get it. The first section of this feels a lot more like a classroom than it does like a Pentecostal church. I get that. Like, we're really digging into the Word of God, really finding out what the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. A lot of us have a lot of personal experience with the Holy Spirit. We've sensed His presence in worship. We've kind of felt His nudging and His leading. And we're going to talk about more of that kind of on the back end of this series about how the Holy Spirit really moves in our life. But a lot of us, you know, have you ever met someone on vacation and you just Barb and Andy are always telling us stories about people thinking, oh yeah, we did this and we did that, and oh, we traded pictures and whatever. But they're having these experiences. But they were, like, a lot of times, and we've had that same experience as well. Our kids met some people at the Oshkosh show and some older gentlemen, and they were talking with them and having a cool interaction, a personal interaction. But doesn't know how old the guy is, where he's from, how many kids he has. You know what I mean? Doesn't know facts about him. And we really kind of want both, don't we? Like, it would be really sad if I've interacted with my wife for 20 years now, and we've had a lot, man, we went on vacation together, we've had some kids together, we built a house together, but I don't really, like, okay, now what are your folks' name again? You laugh because it's so odd. Like, of course you wouldn't do that. Because if we're having personal interaction for an extended period of time, the natural thing to do is to have knowledge base, or I don't know what to call that, but that's not so much the personal interaction, but you want to know about this person. I've interacted with this person. I want to know about this person. And often we have one or the other. Like, we may know about a celebrity, but we have no personal interaction. Or we may personally interact with people at work. I find this to be true. We interact with people at work. I know exactly what they're going to say. He's going to make this joke. So there's people at work. Like, we find this to be true all the time. You really know them. You really know them in that environment. You know them in that setting. So we know that the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor, and I know that that's true. And it really is. You see, God interacts with our humanity. God interacts with us as we... In fact, He kind of has a hunch how we're made. God is just smart enough to know how we are wired and built. And He's just wise enough to know this, to know that if you're sitting there with arms folded, you're often not receiving information. When we're laughing or when we're eating, we often, our hearts are open. And God knows that when we're laughing, when our guard is down, our hearts open up. So we're kind of going through this little classroom session now because we want to know some things. So what I was saying before I got sidetracked was at work, if this makes sense, if anyone's worked outside of the home before, you know what everyone's going to be like on a, you know, kind of within a parameter. You know, they're going to be happy. This one's going to be grumpy. This one's always going to start an argument about this, or we can't talk about this when so-and-so's around. And you feel like you get this kind of this false sense of intimacy because you feel like you know these people. And then the awkward moment when you meet outside of work, if you haven't had a lot of other interaction, you're like, so, how's the water cooler? You know, I don't know, what do I say now? Are you married? Like, you know what I mean? All of a sudden you realize, I don't really know anything about you. And I think that's so true. We've had a lot of personal interaction, but we don't have a lot of knowledge, and we really need both to round out a full relationship. It would be ridiculous to be married or to be, you know, to live in the same house with someone, you know, mom or dad or brother and sister, and not know anything about them factually, because that's part of who they are. It's part of the experiences that they've gone through. And so that's what we're doing with the Holy Spirit. A lot of us charismatics, I mean, a lot of us have had a lot of interaction with the Holy Spirit, and we just don't have a lot of Bible to go with that. We don't know a lot of the facts. It's like we've been married to the Holy Spirit for 20 years, but we don't even know if He's got a brother. Do you know what I mean? Like, where are you from? Are you from Iowa? Like, And that should be strange to us. And so that's what we're doing on the front side of this. So it's not as much like, here's how it's going to change your life. You know, there's not as much of that awesome that we all love, but it's really foundational because we really should know who he is. So last week we started to answer the question, is he God? So who or what is the Holy Spirit? That's the question. This is review. These first half a dozen slides are review. Do you remember the first time we talked about the promise of the Holy Spirit? And then we went through some names of the Holy Spirit. We went through like 12 different names of the Holy Spirit. And then we asked the question last week, is the Holy Spirit God? So to start answering that question, we started talking about the Trinity. And it would be just great if we could just go to the scripture and, look at whatever, Matthew 9:18, and says, the Trinity is whatever. It doesn't say that. It doesn't use that word. That word wasn't used till about the 3rd century, but that concept is throughout the entire set of scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, you see a reflection of the Trinity. And it's just what the Trinity is just a word to describe who God is, to describe that part of it being 3 in 1. So we said this. This is the confusing thing. God is one in essence or substance. He's one in what he is, but he's 3 in person. Okay? They're not 3 separate persons that are 3 gods. That's very, very important that we understand. There's not 3 gods. There's 1 God. And we spent the bulk of last Sunday clarifying that in Israel's history, there's one thing that they would know. There's one God. It was called the Shema. We're actually going to put that up on the screen in just a little bit. But there's one God, but there's 3 distinct. And here's another misnomer. Well, Jesus is 1/3 God, and the Holy Spirit is 1/3 God, and God is 1/3. No, that's not how it works. One is fully God, and one is, it's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. It's 1 × 1 × 1 × 1. They're all God. They're all unique, but they're all God. And when you put the 3 together, there's not 3 of them. There's 1 of them, but there's 3 of them. And we can't get it because there's nothing in this entire realm that mimics that. There's things that come close, but there's nothing, because this is all created and he's uncreated. So if you can show me some other uncreated examples, maybe those would get close. Well, there is none. He's the only uncreated. Everything else, as amazing as it is, has been created. So in created example, it's hard to show something that looks like exactly like the uncreated thing. So we've been just looking at the language of the Bible to get some hints at what the Holy Spirit is. So this is what we spent the most of our time last time looking at, the Shema. It means to hear. Every man, woman, and child in Israel knew this. This is all review from last time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's Deuteronomy 6:4. And if you look on the bottom is the Hebrew words. They call it the Shema because Shema means to hear, and that's the first word in that phrase. Shema Israel, Yahweh, Elohim, Achad, Yahweh. And the word, so the underlined word up in the top there is the Lord, our God. God is underlined. That's the underlined word on the bottom, Elohim. Elohim is plural of El. It's God's. It's God's plural. But the whole statement is saying that God is one. So when he's saying gods are one, that's kind of our first inclination that, wait a minute, there's something going on here because you're saying gods, but you're saying one. And that was just the very definition of who we are. We believe in one God. But they used the plural of the word El and Elohim. We ran over these last time. We see this in Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, who did he say it to? He said it to himself, to the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and on, Genesis 1:26. Really the language. Say language. That's what we're looking at here. We're just looking at what does the language tell us about the Trinity? Like we don't find that word Trinity in the Bible. So you have to look a little bit at how it speaks, how the Bible speaks. We said this last time in Matthew 3:16-17, when Jesus was baptized. So who was being baptized? Okay. We know from the Word of God that Jesus was God. So God was being baptized. Immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God, so that's the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove, coming to rest on him, and behold, a voice from heaven, that would be Father God, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am pleased." So if you're under the notion of, well, let's, I know there's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, like, maybe God's like Mighty Morphin something, you know, like he's Holy Spirit 1 minute, and then he morphs into Jesus, and then he morphs into, you know what I mean? Because it's hard to understand three in one. And this proves that, no, it's not that at all. They're one, but here you see all three of them reflected, where we could see them, hear them physically with our ears, or see them physically with our eyes, in one space, in one time space notch in history. We did not get to this last time. So here we're starting the new content. We're just going to look at just a couple places in Scripture where we see the three mentioned. Okay, so this is in the Gospels. Therefore, Matthew 28, verse 19 says this. Now think about this. This is, we call this, does anybody know what we call these kind of verses? It's the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Okay, now we talked about our when we did the baptism Sunday, we kind of talked about how in a lot of countries that you're okay if you believe something different, but often when you get baptized, that's when your life gets put in danger. And that's, we find that, we have personal story, not, we know someone that knows the people that their lives were in danger. We know numbers of those stories that they were all right with, they told their neighbors that they were Christians, but as soon as they went into the water and got dunked and came back out, then their lives were in danger. Baptism is a powerful a testament. We believe it's a supernatural thing, but also a natural thing, and it's aligning yourself with a belief. So Jesus is making this statement, and he's saying, here's how you're to baptize people. Watch this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're way 2,000 years on this side of the thing. But think about then when they would have said that. They're like, wait a minute, God is one. And Jesus is saying, baptize them in the name of three. That had to be really trippy. Baptizing them, and we're so accustomed to it that it doesn't even phase us. We're like, well, of course, how else would you baptize them? He's saying, we're going to be baptizing people, and there's three names that you're going to use when you baptize people. Acts chapter 10, verse number 38 said this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. You see all three of them mentioned again. There's a whole bunch of verses that mention all three of them, and the Holy Spirit, we call him the third person of the Trinity, but he's not third because he's always mentioned third, and he's not third because he's the third least important. He's like, he's, you know, the least important. I was going to show you a bunch of other verses, but I was like, we're already going to be on this for like 40 weeks. So I decided not to show you all the other ones, but there's times where it'll list the Holy Spirit first, or it'll list Jesus first. So this one's kind of in the traditional order, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. That's normally Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's normally how you think of it. So these are just nothing incredible in these verses other than to show you that the Scripture is just giving you clear reference that there's three in more than one place. Okay? All right, class, are you still with me? All right. Romans chapter 15, verse number 30 says this, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Huh. So now Paul is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's talking about the Spirit, and he's talking about God. Again, these are just examples. We're actually going to come back to this one in just a second. And we're going to hinge actually on this verse for probably the rest of today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is Paul again talking to the Corinthians church. That was 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. He's saying we want all of these things and persons of God to be with you. So that was his final kind of greeting, saying, I want the grace of God, the love of God, the fellowship of God to be with you all. But he names different people in there, and it's all in one verse. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. All right. But. So he's mentioned. Okay, we're with you. We're with you, Pastor. We see your verses. It says Holy Spirit. All right, big deal. You didn't answer the question. Is he God? That's what we're going to move to right now. What's the little deal that comes up on the TV screen when there's going to be graphic content or whatever? The little warning thing that comes up. This is my big word warning. If you're going to see big words and keel over and go into spasms, you might want to turn away for just a second. I promise they're not going to be hard, but they're big. They're big words. Communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. Oh, I love that. What is an attribute? What is an attribute? It's a property of something. So if I was holding, let's say, here, how about this? A Kleenex box. Someone tell me an attribute of this cleaning box. Kleenex box. What's an attribute of this Kleenex box? Paper. It's paper. It's rectangular. It's tissue. Colored. It's colored. Multicolored. It's folded. It's, you could talk about the density of it. It's hollow. It's multiple materials. These are attributes. It's describing. It's things that this is, but it's attributes of it. Does that make sense? Nod your head, at least in subtle agreement. Okay. These attributes of the Kleenex box. So these are attributes of God. Now, I wasn't going to put these big words up there, but if you ever read another book, or if you're ever at another church, or you're in a conference somewhere, and you hear them rattle off these big words, you're going to be like, huh, I know those. They're not hard at all, because I'm going to explain them to you. They're just big. So you're going to sound really smart if you can say, someone will be talking, and you'll just say, oh, honey, that's an incommunicable property of God. It's an attribute of God. And they'll be like, what? You're like, I'm really smart, but I don't brag. Communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. So if I said, God is, okay, tell me something. God is what? Holy. God is
awesome.
God is
spirit.
God is love. God is powerful. So there's some of these attributes that God can communicate to us. And I don't mean communicate like tell us about it. Communicate. Here's a good example. If I was full of, let's say frustration. That's a good one. I'm frustrated at my job. I'm frustrated, and it's a some grave injustice. And I start telling you the story, and you're like, what? Guess what I've done? I've communicated, not just a story, but I've in this sense of the word that we don't use real often. But I've communicated my frustration. Now you're frustrated. Does that make sense? That's what this is talking about. Communicable and incommunicable properties, attributes, I use those two words interchangeably. Part of these things God can communicate to us. God is love, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So we are to do what to our neighbors?
Love.
I see where you're going there. So part of who God is meant to be indwelling and expressed through us. That's called a communicable attribute. And I promise once we get past these, we won't say them anymore just because it's annoying. But I just want you to understand, there's some of these, and there's some crossover. There's some that are exclusive, but there's a lot of kind of middle ones that you can't really fully, like we're never going to love fully like God does, right? Because we're human. So we have that limitation. So it's a communicable property, but we'll never have the full expression of it. Does that make sense? We want to grow in that. We should grow in our love all the time. There's incommunicable properties. God is eternal. Who in here has had a birth in your family, in your own life? Yes, that would be everyone. Those of you that are eternal, come up and see me afterwards. Now, we are eternal going forwards, but we're not eternal in the reverse sense. We all had a beginning point. Does that make sense? But God is eternal. He has no beginning. Where is, since we talked about him last time, on the count of three, everybody point to where Stan is. One, two, three. He's there. Well, what if I want to believe that Stan is omnipresent? And he's in my office, and Stan's also in my car, and he'd be wrong. Yeah, my mom doesn't like to play the game. She just... Mom's a mom. She's just like, you'd be wrong. Just can do all your little woo all you want. You're just, he's here. He's right there. That's all he is. We are not omnipresent. That's an incommunicable property of God. Does that make sense? So some of the attributes of God, of who he is, he can impart to and through us. Some of those he can't. So we're going to look at some of the communicable attributes of God. And we're going to go back to the verse that we were just on. Whoa! What just happened there? Really? Wow. It's one of those mornings, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Yeah. Verse number 14. We read this already. Okay. What's the title at the top? Everybody say it. Love. Okay, so this is a verse that we just read. It was one of our just kind of generic verses showing you that there's all three are mentioned. Well, now we're going to look at this verse a little bit more, and we're going to look at the properties of God mentioned in this verse. So it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, we know God is love, and the love of God should be with us. Well, how about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? Do they love? Now I beg you, this is Romans 15:30. We actually read this verse already. I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the, say it with me, love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Well, we're seeing pretty clearly that the Holy Spirit loves. And we're not just talking like the human kind of love, because he's not human. We're talking about him in this kind of a godly attribute. Well, how about Romans chapter 8, verse number 35? Who shall separate us from the, say it with me, love of Christ? So you mean Jesus loves as well? So you have three different persons of the Trinity. And we know that God is love. In the first verse that we talked about, we're going to go right back to it again, talking about the love of God. We also see that in Scripture, it talks about the love of Christ. And it probably around Easter time, we're going to prove to you that Jesus was God. So we know God, Jesus has love, and we see from Scripture, now we've all experienced the love of God. We've experienced the love of the Holy Spirit, but we're seeing it in Scripture now. If I would have asked you before this, and if you would have asked, let's turn the tables. If you would have asked me before this series, does it say anywhere in the Bible, Pastor, that the Holy Spirit loves? I would have looked at you quizzically, stroked my beard, and said, let me get back to you on that. Because I didn't know until I started studying this. You see, we have interaction, personal interaction, but it's good to have some knowledge. We want to know about the person that we're interacting with as well, right? Amen? We're still bored, Pastor. I know, but just hang with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It's the verse that we started with. This is kind of our hinge verse today. Now we go, instead of the love of God, we're going to look at, in red up there, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know God gives grace. Well, apparently, Jesus Christ gives grace. If you would have asked me before this series, if Jesus Christ gives grace, I probably would have given you an answer like, I think God gives grace. I wouldn't really know how to answer that question. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them." This is Paul talking. "Yet not I, but the grace of" who? God. The grace of God. Big G God. And for future reference, big G God always means Father God. But smoke and mountains and whatever. Angie, you remember that from youth? Big G God. Big G God. "But the grace of God that was with me." All right. Well, we're going to go now to a name of the Holy Spirit that we've first week. Hebrews 10:29. Well, we won't read the entire verse, but at the end, was sanctified and outraged the spirit of grace. So we see Jesus Christ has grace, and we're pretty confident that grace is a attribute of God. I mean, we wouldn't argue with that. Of course, it's God. God is the one who gives grace. We know that. Like, we're confident of that as Christ followers. But we're seeing that all three of them dispense grace. The Holy Spirit dispenses grace, Jesus dispenses grace, God the Father dispenses grace. They all have grace. We're just setting a standard here to start methodically proving that the Holy Spirit really is God. All right, back to our key verse again. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says this, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the" what? "Fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." What is fellowship? What is fellowship? Spending time together, interacting, exchanging hearts, if you want to get into just real fellowship, gathering together, taking part of my life and offering it to you, and you're taking part of your life and experiences and offering it to me, where it's more than just talking about weather, but it's a deeper connection, but it's not like it's powerful. It's relationship. Let's just say that. It's relationship. "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Let's look at our next verse. What's this one going to be? Drum roll. 1 Corinthians 1:9. "God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship" with who? His Son, Jesus Christ. So we're to have this kind of interaction with the Holy Spirit. We're to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Another verse says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father." Wait a minute. I thought our fellowship was with the Holy Spirit. Or wasn't it with Jesus Christ? Wait, who's our fellowship with? Yes. It's with the Father, it's with the Son, it's with the Holy Spirit. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Every single one of these, and you could go on and on and on and on. There's more and more and more where it talks about one is with God, one's with Jesus, one's with the Holy Spirit. And so these are the communicable attributes of God, the things of God that can be transferred into our lives, poured out into our lives. And we see them referenced from God the Father, we see them referenced in God Jesus Christ, and we see them referenced in God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. His name is God. Does that make sense? We won't get through all of these. Incommunicable attributes, our last big word of the day. These are things that no matter how much we want to, we can't be eternal backwards. We can't be everywhere at once. How many of you wished you could be in more than one place at one time? No kidding. Number one, the Holy Spirit is eternal. Well, how do we know that? Well, I bet we're going to look at a verse. Next verse on this, we should have like Jeopardy music or something. Do, 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 do. We need to do something to make this not so boring. But it's... He has been this morning. True. True. He is eternal. Hebrews 9:14. This is one of our holdovers from the names of God from the first week of this series. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit..." What kind of Spirit? Eternal. That's one of his names. He's the Eternal Spirit. The Eternal Spirit. If we can go through, see, we've already gone through communicable attributes. If we can go through a few of the incommunicable attributes of God and see where the Scripture, everybody say Scripture, see where the Scripture points to the Holy Spirit as having, possessing those attributes, then we'd have to conclude, huh, must be God. If the Scripture says the things that are only for God about the Holy Spirit, then we must say, oh, the Holy Spirit must be God then. Does that make sense, what we're trying to do? We're trying to point out that we know that one of the incommunicable attributes of God is he's eternal. He's uncreated. He always was, always will be. There was no beginning to God. If you sit and think about eternity forward, like eternity future, that's not such a bad deal. Because we don't know if we're going to live a day or another 100 years, but how do we wake up each morning? We go to bed at night, we wake up the next morning, right? It's just an ongoing. So eternity forward, it just would never stop. I have no problem with that. Eternity backwards, that will melt your brain cells. Try to think of what eternity backwards would be like. Because you can think of God as being really old, and then really, really old, and then really, 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 you know what I mean? But you run out of reallys after a while. And you're like, well, what did he do before that? Like, did he have, like, Xbox? Or, like, what did God do? Like, what was it like? Like, what was his, like, it just starts to really hurt after a while. So, he's eternal. God is eternal. That's an incommunicable attribute, and we know that the Holy Spirit is eternal. Next up on the list, this will be the last one for today. He's omnipresent. Stan is not omnipresent because mom said I was wrong. Now she's saying I'm right. Stan is not omnipresent. If Stan is in the third chair, Stan cannot be in the fifth chair because Stan's in the third chair, unless you have some really cool riddle. But unless it's just a riddle, you know, some trickster way with words, if Stan is here, he cannot be. If Stan is in Langford, he cannot be in Peaver, right? You guys seem like unconvinced. They have more faith in you. Because they were very interactive. I don't think they're just being shy. They were just all just laughing just a second ago. But now they feel that you may have. They're holding out. They're like, they're feeling like the answer's yes, but I'm going to reserve myself because there's a possibility that you may know something we don't know. Nope. If Stan is in Webster, if Stan is putting a toilet in his house, in she doesn't play the game. I'm just saying, she's just the mom. She stretching this out. I'm gonna make a point. It's not true. If Stan is putting a toilet in the house, it's a miracle. So, but he did, and it was, we had a miracle. Yes, the miraculous has happened. But he cannot be in Webster at the same time he's putting a toilet in Roslyn, which was part of the problem. He had to go to Webster because when you do plumbing, if you've ever done plumbing, you know that you buy 17 parts, but it's the 18th one that you need. And so you have to go back to the store because that's how plumbing works. But the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, he is omnipresent. What does omnipresent mean? Everywhere at once, yep. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10. This will be our last verse for today. Where can I go from your, what? Spirit. Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. We've got two attributes of God that are incommunicable, that are attributed to the Holy Spirit already. We'll get to the rest next week, but we're starting to see a clearer and clearer picture of what we know already, that he is God. But okay, well, do we know this because someone said it? Do we know it because my neighbor John just said, yeah, the Holy Spirit's God, and I believed him the whole time? Do we know it because mom said it? Well, if my mom said it, then I'm just... If my mom said it, no one's arguing anymore. But you know what I mean, a normal mom. That came out wrong. That sounded way better in... She just doesn't play the game. Yeah, it's... Moms are all like that. I only have one, so I don't really know. In my experience, that's what it's like. But so often in our lives, we have these things of God that we know, but just because someone told us, we haven't really discovered it for ourselves, or we haven't taken the journey to walk through the scriptures to really find out. And I tell you what, world's changing out there. If you, I have no doubt that you and the church will survive. I have no doubt about that, because that's promised to us. But will we be effective? Oh, what'd you have to go and throw that in for? Will you be able to enter into conversations because my dad said so, works in first grade, but it does not no longer work in the marketplace when we're talking about the things of God? Does that make sense? That's why I'm boring you to tears with verse after verse of foundational stuff about this person of God called the Holy Spirit, who I am desperately in love with. I need him every second of every day. And we're going to take the time to plod through these so that you can jot down scriptures or at least have seen it on a screen to say, you know what? I saw that verse. You've made the case that he really is God, and we're going to see how he interacts with our life later on. But you're going to be able to have conversations with people that may not believe that he interacts with us, or may not believe that he's even part of the Trinity, or whatever. It doesn't matter, or that there even is a God. But because you interact with him personally, and you also have knowledge, and you have the scripture to back that up, that you're going to have a firm foundation for your personal experience with the Holy Spirit. Make sense? Yeah.